Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Davis, Aesmith.
This is a finals week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Claussen Heating and Air Conditioning. Their experts are focused on one thing, your comfort. Schedule your free estimate at claussenheating.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Can we cut in?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Look at that sun shining. It's going to be 70 degrees today. Hell yeah. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to go sunbathe in my backyard. I think I'm buying like a gazebo thing for my patio.
Wow. I wish I had the contract that you signed.
Well, it's not like an actual, it's like a, you put it up, it's not like a wooden gazebo. It's like a tent.
Is it like a Costco one that's always?
Yeah, they always have on display.
It's only $4,000.
No, that's not for, it's like, it's, there's one at Fred Meyer for like $400.
Right, breaks in one season.
$5,000.
He's it probably will break dough. In one season. It probably will.
You're going to do a gazebo,
I'm really excited about that. I'm trying to figure out a way. I thought about building like a roof on my patio to keep the sun, you know, just have a little shade, be out there year round. But then I thought, I don't know if I want that. I don't know. It's a lot of work. Do I really want a roof over my patio?
Well, you got to block the sun so you can watch your sports outside.
See?
True. I do not watch sports outside.
You don't
said
watch
that.
Sports no, outside? Are you crazy?
I'll do that. I
In
don't
the middle
have...
of summer, you don't turn a ball game on? Yeah.
That's different. That's radio, but I'm not watching it.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
the only way I'm watching
out,
sports
man.
Outside is if I'm at a bar on their patio.
No, I'll take my laptop out. I'll put YouTube TV on my porch and I'll barbecue and I'll have a ball game up on my laptop.
Let me ask you this. What are the chances if I hang a TV on the outside of my house on my patio, what are the chances it gets stolen?
Where you live?
Well, now that I know where you live.
You just have a criminal, like a fugitive?
Oh, I found out what that was, by the way, for those that missed that segment when I had fugitives running through my neighborhood.
I was here that morning. I'm so glad for this update.
So
I was
here
generally
is the,
curious.
The wife was all over it. She's like Inspector Clouseau. She dialed in the whole thing. She found the like criminal report.
Yeah.
It was three teenagers that stole a car.
Oh.
And they randomly, I don't know why they got out and ran, but somehow somebody figured out they stole the car and they parked it like up above my house on a hill. And then they were running through backyards from the police and they were looking for them.
Gotcha.
So not quite as scary anymore. It's like a bunch of 15-year-old kids that all ended up going to juvie.
Oh.
I could take a 15-year-old.
Yeah, well,
I think I could.
Those kids are getting bigger.
I got some old man strength.
Yeah, I believe you.
You know?
I think overall you're to the age where you're crazy enough where a 15-year-old might be bigger. But they'd cower down because they'd be afraid of your old man strength. And do they really want it as bad as you?
Yeah. Somebody said roof on the patio is the best money I've ever spent on my house.
My buddy John does that for his business. He does a lot of like interior redesigning.
Sure.
And he did this for my brother-in-law. He adds patio roofs and it's like full on wood. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I will say, I know a couple people that he's done that for. My brother-in-law's is dialed. It extends out, I'd say, a good 25 feet. He's got his Traeger. He's got a TV mounted to the side of his house. He's got shades he can pull down to block sun.
That's kind of what I want, yeah. Little fly nets, too. You keep the bugs out while you're eating dinner.
You could add a little space heater thing, the outside ones, you know, that attach to the propane tanks. Yeah. Like, he's got it pretty dialed. So if you do it,
okay,
I think that's the way you go.
I might try a gazebo first and see if it blows away in a windstorm and then build the roof. Well, we got options here.
Well, what's fun about, you know, when you get to this point, of kicking around redesigned home detail as we dive into summer plans here in our own stupid lives.
Yeah.
My backyard is not even a backyard. It's a side of my house because I have an attached townhouse. And the side yard's tiny. It's just a fence, a patio, and we put some rocks around that.
Sure.
I'm to the point where I just want to make the whole side thing cement. I just want a patio.
Where's your dog going to take a crap?
I walk my dog.
Like in the front?
I take my dog on pretty long walks twice a day.
I mean, I do too, but my dog poops in the backyard.
We don't let her.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't have a yard, so you don't want her pooping on the rocks. I guess that makes sense.
Well, not to get too disgusting. Do you ever pick up cold dog poop? It's the worst feeling in the world. That's what happens when she does that.
You got to do it early in the morning when you get a little frost because then they're hard. It's easier to pick up.
Yeah, no, I'm out. I don't like that. So I don't care about that. It's more of just for us. So I have no idea what to do with cement, but I want to add like a huge extended patio.
You could, is it big enough to at least put like a little hoop in?
Well, I have a hoop for my driveway.
Okay, you got the driveway hoop going on. Yeah, you got options there. I don't know.
Well, this is why I hate HOAs is I can't have a basketball hoop in my driveway.
Or they limit what you can do.
Yeah, they think it kills your home value, which is the stupidest logic I've ever heard. So now I have to take in and out a huge basketball hoop, put weights on it so it doesn't fall over, take the weights off, put it back in my garage.
Nobody's going to buy one in your neighbor's house if you have a basketball hoop in your driveway. How dare you?
How dare you have children that look happy?
Yeah, that makes me feel like you got kids and, oh, this is a friendly neighborhood. They shoot some hoops. The cars don't go by fast.
Dude, that's great if somebody has a good hoop in the street too, because then you don't have to worry about it. Like, is this a, hey, everybody, is this a community hoop here? Can I get in on this
hoop? There's one right around the corner from my place, and it makes me feel like people drive on that road slower.
And I always thought that too, is you see a hoop, you're like, there's some families, there's kids, it's nice around here. Even if the area is not highly regarded, it makes you feel better.
It's like an imaginary speed bump.
Let me throw in, do you know who doesn't like them? I hate to classify it, but sometimes you got to say, I'm in this demographic, but it doesn't apply to me. Old white ladies.
They don't like basketball
old
hoops.
White ladies are the downfall of our HOAs because they bitch and moan about the most things.
Yeah, they're the only ones who take it seriously.
It's like 65-year-old Janet has to tell you that you have two weeds that need to be pulled, and how dare you put a basketball hoop in your driveway.
And nobody needs that in their life.
No.
Come on, life's too short.
I got a gal that she used to be on the board, or she is, and she seems nice to us, but I've also seen her have some confrontations in our neighborhood. This lady's washing her car every single day. Like every day she washes her Range Rover.
Gotta keep it clean.
But yet, God forbid, you have one weed in the front of your yard and you get a GD notice on it. My experience of HOAs is not great. I always get pushback. People like, HOAs actually help your neighborhood. Not in my history. No, they're always just annoying.
You got to ask, is the juice worth the squeeze there? Like how much you're paying on a monthly basis? Like, sure, it's nice to not have a house next to you with abandoned cars in the front lawn. Like nobody wants that neighbor.
Okay, that's enough. I'm going to push back. That's a thing I hear. How often does that happen?
I mean, I got seriously. A neighbor with a lot of cars, and he's got a lot. He's got a camper. He's got like four different cars.
Okay, tell me this.
It's not an eyesore. I don't really mind it, but it's. I also have a house on my street that is not populated. That had a tree fall down on the front yard that has been sitting there.
You live in Milwaukee.
I do.
Milwaukee is still an up and coming. You know, you're still selling houses at a high clip. Is that house with four things in it? Is that killing your home value? No.
No, it's not, because it's good. It's a close enough into Portland that it's still, the value's still good.
Exactly. Yeah. You're already coming out on top on that
location,
house value.
Location, location.
And that's what drives me bonkers is these people have this 1990s way of viewing the housing market. And the reality is, every house, no matter where you're at, the value is up exponentially.
Yeah, the memo there, because I think you've done this now at both your places. You got to buy a house that's not in an HOA, man. Let's find a non-HOA neighborhood next time.
Well, I'm going to have to be your neighbor, because where am I finding a neighborhood that's not part of an HOA anymore?
There's none in Milwaukee. I don't think there's any HOAs in all of Milwaukee. I don't know if there's any HOAs in Oregon City.
I'd say
outside your neighborhood.
I'd say, well, no, there's actually quite a few HOAs in Oregon City because they got all these, you know, they have, whenever there's a name of a neighborhood, you have an HOA.
My girlfriend lives in Camas, and there's a good chance, like at the top of the hill, there's a good chance I move in there someday with her, and there's an HOA, and I can't wait. I'm going to make their life hell.
Well, see, we push back too, and what people will say is,
I'm not going to push back. I'm going to make their life hell.
Good. Good luck with all those fines, because that's going to be fun to live with.
And then I'm
going to
join the HOA and ruin them all.
I had that mindset early, And everybody says, well, if you don't like it, why don't you be a part of the turnaround, the help solve the problem, Sprague? Who wants to go to HOA meetings? That's the downfall of the HOA.
I will, just to make those people suffer. No. I am that petty.
Yeah, that's what it would take to push back. But I'm way too lazy to do that. That's too much time and effort and energy, and I would just rather deal with old ladies giving me dirty looks and telling me to move my basketball hoop.
Well, and there's far more concerned people with our HOA. And we had one gal that had like a, you know, sign the waiver to help me run for the new president to overtake the current. And she goes, I'm going to run on making a park. I'm going to run on making a dog park and changing this neighborhood. And I said,
HOA.
I'm with you.
Do I get my basketball court?
She failed miserably, I guess, at the hearing because certain six people did not sign that. And
the old white lady shot her down.
Yeah. No. The old six white ladies shot her down.
That's all it took, man.
And you should see her now. She's so defeated when she walks around her neighborhood. She's like, hi. Hi.
That reminds me, when I was in elementary school, I was elected class president in fifth grade. You know how I won?
You bought your way to the seat.
I won with two votes because everybody voted for themselves. And I happened to get one other kid in the class that voted for me, and I won 2-1. Class president, baby. Takes one.
Now, when you became class president, did anything change?
No. I mean, I don't think I could do anything, but I got to dedicate a bench. So that was kind of cool.
Don't they kind of just make you do stuff like that?
It's still there. The bench is still there. It's still rocking at Llewellyn. Shout out my bench from fifth grade.
Who'd you dedicate it to?
I had to give a big speech. It was like an unveiling of a statue.
A big speech. Would you talk for a minute?
I would like to dedicate this bench to the class of whatever year we were.
Who did you dedicate it to?
There's people there. It's a thing.
No, but like, what's the name of the bench?
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know? You read it. Big speech. You don't even remember?
I think it was like our class. It was like a class bench kind of thing, if I remember correctly. And then we had like brought everybody out. Hey, we have a new bench on our campus. Or if you don't even know if you call elementary schools campuses.
Worst class president ever.
Park Rose famously had a person run for president. And I remember one of the things was they were going to lower the vending machine prices because there were too many poor people. So like people like me, like, hey, could you knock these chips to like 40 cents and not a dollar?
How do you even do that?
Well, they ran on the promise of doing that. Guess what they didn't? They were not able to do once they won the presidency. It was that.
So. A couple of thoughts. Somebody sent out a mailer recently suggesting we start an HOA, and it got shot down in a big hurry. That's good. So HOA have no benefit. It's too sterile. No kid stuff in the front. God forbid you have a trailer in your driveway.
Oh, my God, I know.
I'm a landscape contractor and strongly dislike them. And then somebody said, yo, Dirt, I sat on your bench. That's right. Shout out my bench, baby.
But you don't even know the name of the bench.
The bench is there. It's there. The people are there. They sit on my bench.
I will say there have been some people that have told me HOAs are great. It's always people that they're not in an HOA, which I always find comical. It's like, oh, you don't live in an HOA, but you're telling me how great it is. I've never had a good experience. And yeah, I kind of think they're just looking to take your money.
Yeah, HOA suck.
Because all they'll end up doing really is hiring a lawn maintenance company to mow the lawn.
Right.
That's it. It's, hey, the sidewalk grass is cut. I don't give a rip. Grow it out. What do I care?
Let it fly, man. Let it fly. We didn't get to the Supreme Court case there. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. Also, some MVP stuff we want to talk about in the NBA. But it is time for your favorite segment's favorite segment.
The Fan.
All right, Saturday story time. Good text coming in on HOAs. Appreciate it. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line.
Is there support or is there arguments for?
Everybody's against it. Everybody's against it. Although we did have one person say, okay, I'll bite regarding the hoop outside the house. The bouncing ball on the pavement can be very loud at 7:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
I don't play basketball before.
That's like an
10 o'clock
rule.
In the morning, and I don't play past 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock at night in the summer.
That's an unwritten rule, and that's not just basketball. It's like don't mow your lawn at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? Like just don't do that. Wait till 8:30, 9 o'clock is usually your cutoff. Ooh. People are awake.
I think you have for mowing the lawn, and I know people do it a little earlier. So this is maybe a preference. I don't believe in doing anything of large consequence noise-wise prior to 10 a.m.
Oh, 10 a.m. is your cutoff. I go 9 a.m.
There's a lot of adults that don't have kids, and Saturday is a big sleep-in day, and they enjoy their sleep, so I respect it. And then in the at night, like I won't go past 8 o'clock at night unless the whole neighborhood is clearly out and it's beautiful and whatnot. But
yeah, there's something going on.
There's time and place and there is respect for your neighbors. I don't need the HOA. There's a lot of things I've learned as an adult that nobody taught me in school or in my own personal life. I would say the HOA is top three worst things that nobody told me about I would experience in my adult life that I hate the most.
Yeah, somebody said we got our first house. It was in an HOA when we went to buy house number two. Number one criteria for the agent was not in an HOA.
That is that's top two things for us. Yeah. If we are able to move, that's the next top two things.
Yeah, of all the things we can have, just make it not in an HOA. Okay, we got a Statter Story on a Wednesday. This is a P. Harris edition of Statter Story.
I'm retiring after 2 weeks.
He's cooked this up. You had a good Statter Story run. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Good run for 2 weeks. What do we got today, P. Harris?
All right, bear with me. This is my first one, so hopefully we do all right.
This is going to be a Cougued edition?
No.
Okay.
No. This should be a normal stat or story.
Okay.
Your first number is 88. Is that the average points Gonzaga has scored in their games thus far in the tournament? Or is it the number of newborn tortoises found in a suitcase at a Galapagos airport?
Ooh.
Just saw a tortoise at the zoo. It wasn't out in its enclosure. It was in the building, but you could see through a door. Badass animal.
That thing was huge. It's a lot of them for a suitcase. Now, I know they're not big. It's a lot for a suitcase. Gonzaga's numbers will be inflated because how many did they score in their opener?
I will say this is a stat.
They had 100 on somebody.
I think you're right. Tortoises are probably tiny when they're born, but 88's a lot to fit in a suitcase. Even a big suitcase.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I'm going to go stat here, Bob.
I'm with you on that. I'm going to go stat, too.
It is a stat. Gonzaga averaging 88.6. I rounded to the 88 just for fun.
That's insane.
And in the Galapagos Islands, you guys are correct that is a stat, but you are on the wrong side of this. They seized 185 newborn tortoises that were found wrapped in plastic in a red suitcase.
And they
found the hatchlings on Sunday when they x-rayed the suitcase, which was bound for the port city in Ecuador.
So when they're born,
that is so messed up.
The average size of a newborn tortoise hatchling is 2 foot by 2 foot.
Yeah, this guy's holding him in his hands, and they're like the size of his palms.
They're big, yeah.
They're tortoises, too, so you know they get huge.
Yeah, 2 foot by 2 foot.
That's too big.
That's too big. For a baby tortoise, that's too big.
Oh, okay, now I'm seeing, damn. Is there anything cuter than a baby turtle or tortoise?
Like when they're like swimming in the sand to get to the ocean.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's amazing. You can hold them with your fingers.
And when you get to be around them, and like if you go to Hawaii and you can kind of swim in one of those little lagoons, you're not allowed to touch them, but swimming around them and stuff, that's a pretty badass thing.
We're probably going to, the Sprague household, once the cat or dog passes at some point in our lives.
That's the next venture.
We're not going to do a tortoise because that'll outlive all of us, but we're
the Sprague family tortoise.
The name will go on forever.
Your daughter's giving it to her daughter.
Oh, that's really what would happen. Those things live a long time. We're probably going to be a turtle house.
Yeah. That's cool.
I hope it doesn't stink.
Do you let it walk around freely?
Not if we have a cat or a dog.
Yeah, but if it's just by itself,
but if it's
only
by
animal?
Itself, we would once in a while probably let it do it.
That's pretty badass. All right,
for number two, similar to the first one, but a little different. I didn't realize these were similar until I looked at it. Your number is 56. Is this the average point scored by UCLA this tournament? Or is it the age of my favorite actor whose birthday is today, Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor is your favorite actor?
It's your favorite actor?
Yeah, dude, he's fantastic. Plus, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I didn't say he wasn't, but that's the most left field favorite actor I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor.
I love Ewan McGregor.
What was the last big thing Ewan McGregor? What would I have known recently?
He did the Fargo season that sucked where he played both. He played like two characters. That season was awful, though.
Also, he was in some like tsunami movie with Naomi Watts.
He was in the most awkward movie I've ever watched in my life.
Velvet Goldmine?
Nope. I Love You, Philip Morris.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Was not mentally ready for what that movie was.
Have you seen Trainspotting?
No.
Oh, that's a young Ewan McGregor? That will rock your world. That's about heroin junkies in England.
He likes to go with really random roles. I'll say that. He's got good range. Boy, if that's the average for UCLA, we're in for a 30-point beatdown in the Final Four.
I mean, they only had, 51 last night. They didn't have a ton that I remember against Michigan State.
I think I'm going to go stat here.
Oh, but I'm going to go story. I'm going to say it's slightly higher than that. I don't think it's much higher, but I think it's slightly higher. I'm going to go story. Ewan McGregor feels like, that feels like a 56-year-old.
Well, how old do you think he was when they did Star Wars? That was in the early 2000s.
40.
Late 90s.
Yeah, it was 99, 2002, maybe mid-to-late 30s.
That sounds about like 20 years ago. He was a younger guy then. I could see him being in his mid-30s.
God, you're going dirt logic and you're making sense. That's the most terrifying thing.
Hey, it always makes sense.
I'll jump on. I'm going to go story.
It is a stat.
Thanks, Dirt.
Wow. UCLA is averaging 56 points this tournament. It is Ewan McGregor's birthday today. He is 50.
Yeah, 50, okay. 56. He was young when he did those Star Wars.
So in 99, when he is Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's like 26, 25.
Boy, that's a big roll to land at that age. Would you have been ready at 25 to say you're going to be one of the leads of a Star Wars movie?
And not even the leads, but you are Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like one of the only crossovers from the original trilogy. And the Disney Plus is about to start shooting his 7-part mini movie.
Did people like him as Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Love him.
I think those movies sucked, right? Didn't people hate those movies?
They were pretty terrible.
But he was a good Obi-Wan.
He is amazing. And Disney Plus, following The Mandalorian, is doing a seven-part show starring Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi while he's living on Tatooine.
Does anybody else have a random favorite actor like that? Like, Ewan McGregor is about as left field as you. Because Tom Hanks is my goat.
Oh, boy, that's.
I'm picking Gonzaga
to win the tournament.
Well, that's why it's not out of left field.
Well, yeah. Michael Jordan is the goat in basketball, but my favorite players are like Dr. J and Reggie Miller.
But I see, it's not even. That's different, though.
But the goat is different than your favorite.
Sure, that's true. I shouldn't have said goat. Tom Hanks is my favorite because I love all of his movies.
Sure.
Well, not all of them, but the vast majority of them.
I think I'm a Leo guy, one. I mean, anything he does, I'm like, I have to watch this. But again, that's Leo. I mean, who's not?
That's what I'm saying. That's why Ewan McGregor's out of left field. Like, that's random. That's like.
I like a lot of like second tier, third tier character actors. Like,
I'm also a big like Gary Oldman fan.
Yeah.
Sean Penn.
Right. And, well, I don't like Sean Penn. I think he's a douche.
Well, yeah, but I like him in movies.
Nah. He just looks like he's awful to work with. Hi, Sean.
Shut up. Let's act.
Looks angry all the time.
Him and Christian Bale, they have a vibe that's like, do you want to talk to them when you're on set? They're probably not fun.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, your last one. The number is 2.2.
2.2.
Is it the number of innings Mike Soroka pitched yesterday coming off a torn Achilles? Or is it the amount in tons of garbage that has been cleaned up on Mount Everest since the pandemic started?
Oh, I read this story.
I did too, and I'm going to go story. I know I should know the Soroka one, but I'm going to go story.
I doubt coming off an injury like that, I didn't realize that he was pitching yet, that they would give him 3 innings, basically. I feel like that would be a bit of a shorter leash, at least to start with. So I'm going to go story, too.
He pitched 2 innings yesterday.
Exactly. Hey, see? Hey, got
2
it.
Innings,
did
exactly.
I get it?
I was really excited.
Two outs.
I love Mike Soroka a lot. I think he's really good. And when he got that Achilles, it really bummed me out, especially because I'm a big fan of that Braves rotation.
Yeah.
By the way, Hot Corner on tonight from 7 to 9 p.m.
Shout out to the fan. Plug it, baby.
But yes, it is a story. 2.2 tons of garbage cleaned up by Nepalese Sherpas on Mount Everest since the pandemic started because it has been closed to tourists.
That's a really cool story.
That's a cool story?
Well, cool that they cleaned it off.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got the mountain cleaned. Somebody had a line saying it's like taking a thorn out of the side of your finger. One of the guys that was cleaning it. I thought that was cool.
You know what's random about Mount Everest is how the boom of mountain climbing in that specific region has grown and just saying you conquered it. There was one story I read about that's kind of disturbing. It's like every single year still, they're randomly always finding dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's actually a pretty messed up system.
Yeah.
With how many people go and the Sherpas that have to lead, you have to have guides on all your tours. And most people that go aren't equipped to actually climb a mountain, let alone Mount Everest. They just want to do it.
The pandemic picture when it boomed, people were doing it. You remember that long line that you'd see, that yep. image that was pretty popular? And it seemed like it was a half mile long of people just waiting to get to the peak for a minute.
To take your social media picture.
To take your Instagram photo and then just climb back down.
Yeah. Speaking of trash, too, there was a crazy story. We can get to this maybe tomorrow in Bloomberg. We have an epidemic of flushable wipes in this country.
They're not so flushable.
Yeah, they're not flushable.
They're not at all.
Like there's sewage areas all over the country that are getting clogged up in the pictures. Oh, God.
I don't want to talk about the pictures. I mean, we can do that in our minds.
It is not pretty, man. So there you go. All right, Saturday story. Every Wednesday at 8:15. Good, that was a good Saturday story, man. Well done, P. Harris. Well done. Okay, coming up next, let's get to... You know what? Let's get to the NCAA story. We'll let you know what's going on, what the latest, what are people arguing, why is this happening? All of that is next. First, here's P. Harris with SportsCenter.
This is a Finals Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by...
This is a Finals Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Claussen Heating and Air Conditioning.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, we don't talk Supreme Court very often on this show, but there's something that is going on today with college athletics that is noteworthy. For those of you who don't know what's happening, there is an antitrust case in front of the Supreme Court today where the NCAA and the Big Ten conference together are arguing their side against former West Virginia running back Sean Alston. I guess the Department of Justice is also on his side, participating with Alston. And it is not connected to the name, image, likeness stuff. That's a confusing point. You got all these different litigation angles that were going down and trying to find federal legislation to solve that issue. These are not connected. What this is basically an antitrust case about the legality of colleges through the NCAA agreeing to limit compensation to student athletes based for, room and board, books, other expenses that, are tied into the full value of attendance. And he is arguing that there should not be a cap on this, that you are allowed in an open market to offer the highest salary to whatever coach that you want, right? If USC and Alabama are vying for the same coach as, Oregon State and Washington State, USC and Alabama have more money to spend. They're going to offer that coach more money. This kid is saying, why isn't it the same in college athletics where you can offer more, mainly not in terms of financial benefits, but like making money, but more for school stuff and equipment and grants and that kind of thing that can go to an athlete. So that's basically what we're dealing with. And this, there has been a hearing going on today in front of the Supreme Court, and there's a back and forth with questions. This has been happening, and it has been a really bad look for the NCAA because a lot of their arguments are exactly kind of what you expect them to be. They're protecting amateurism. They're saying that, the interest in college athletics will go away if you start paying players. They tried to argue that if you pay players, the competitive balance will be lost in college athletics like we have.
Because Alabama hasn't been raining terror on college football for 20 years.
Any competitive balance? The NCAA attorney set the tone. He raised the traditionalist argument for more than 100 years. The distinct character of college athletics is it's played by students who are amateurs, meaning that they are not paid. So that's the argument line that they're going down. But basically every judge, no matter what side of the aisle that they sit on politically, is taking shots at the NCAA here. Kagan, I'll just read a quote. She said, "The way you talk about amateurism sounds high-minded, but schools that are naturally competitors have gotten together in an organization with undisputed market power to set salaries at far lower levels than if markets were set to operate. Aren't you fixing the prices?" So this is going on today in front of the Supreme Court.
Code word for that capitalistic society you built? Yeah, you have to be capitalists in it.
Yeah, what's funny about this is you're getting conservative justices paired with super progressive sports fan, and they're teaming up together and just destroying the NCAA today. Is this the best display of bipartisanship we have going on in the country right now?
People love their sports, man. Don't mess with them.
They do.
Like it. Well, and I think I think a lot of us can look at this topic and agree on it.
It's not a very,
you're raking
in
billions of dollars, and there are some people that will, a small percentage that will push back.
Well, take Brett Kavanaugh, right, who controversial in the news a couple years back. He's a justice now. He says, quote, "It does seem that schools are conspiring with competitors to pay no salaries to the workers who are making the schools billions of dollars on the theory that consumers want the schools to pay their workers nothing. And that's one of Justice Thomas has gone and just destroyed them with all of their questions. I think if you're following this today, and I'd love to get somebody on tomorrow to talk about this. If you're following this today, I don't know where this is going. Ultimately, they may be siding with the NCAA for procedural reasons or whatever. But I think you're loving this. If you believe that college athletes should be making money in a multi-billion dollar industry, you're loving what you're seeing right now, because the NCAA argument is holding no water to any of this stuff. It makes no sense. They're calling out coaches. They're basically saying, okay, you're using amateurism at the college level for the athletes, using that for coaches, because coaches' salaries have ballooned. Mm-hmm. So if you're using that for the athletes, why does it not apply to the coaches? And they're also calling out the number. There's been allegedly 6,000 per student athlete thrown out there as a salary. And they've already been questioned twice on it and saying, really, 6,000 a year? You're making billion-dollar TV contracts.
Right.
You think $6,000 a year for the student athlete who is the actual product we're watching, that's fair? Yeah. And there's no counter. The NCAA's counterarguments have fallen just right on their face with this stuff. So I think if you're against the NCAA, if you're against the whole student athletes doing this for next to nothing. I mean, we throw the scholarship education thing out there. A lot of these kids, it's been well documented for years, can't major in what they want, and it's primarily driven to get them to be student athletes with the idea that they'll be pro athletes. There's not a lot of arguments that are being made to counter what the judges are saying.
Yeah, the main argument from this Alston guy, the former West Virginia running back who's the head of the focal point of the lawsuit, he said the arrangement right now in college athletics funnels money to those around the recruits that are coming in. So the schools spend millions of dollars to hire an elite coach, or they spend millions and millions of dollars to build state-of-the-art facilities in hopes that they'll draw recruits to their university, while the recruit himself or herself don't receive any of that direct financial benefit. So that's the basis of the argument. The NCAA's main three arguments, you ready for these? And these have been highlighted today throughout the hearing in front of the Supreme Court. The main three arguments are, one, the restraints on college athlete compensation help to distinguish college sports from pro sports, particularly minor sports. And they argue without that distinction, some college fans would lose interest. These are their arguments.
Do they know college fans and their obsession with the sport?
Right. Like, nobody's getting paid in college basketball, right? Number two, competitive balance in college sports would be jeopardized if schools waged bidding wars for athletes.
How many titles has the SEC won in a 25-year span?
Right. And three, restrictions on pay enhance the school's ability to integrate academic and athletic goals and thereby promote education. They legit argued today that add this, it's going to take more time away from the academics, and they are student athletes after all.
Don't some schools create classes, fake classes for people?
Yeah, that happened
to
in North Carolina
nothing, for 20 years.
Came out of it.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
It should be. So again, just to remind people. So this, I mean, look, I'm not a legal scholar. I'm sure you can tell that by this segment. This does not have anything to do with the name, image, likeness stuff. And it would not, if Alston is to win this case, which who knows how it's going to end up. It's been pretty fiery rhetoric today, but I guess you never know where the Supreme Court's going to land. This would not end amateurism. It's just another. It's like the Ed O'Banion case, where it's just basically another twist on it, and it would allow the athletes to get more in terms of grants and educational benefits and that kind of stuff. So it's just it will be a twist and a step in the right direction, in my opinion, but it would not end amateurism, and it does not have anything to do with that name, image, and likeness. But all of these things are pushing the ball forward, and it has been a rough day for the NCAA in front of the Supreme Court today, which, hey, I'm here for after everything that they've done, even including the women's tournament here a couple of weeks ago. I'm always glad to watch them get kicked around a little bit.
You got to pay the piper.
You do.
And they've been kicking this can down the road for how many decades? They had a lot of support, I think, a few decades ago, and now I think it's reared its ugly head, and vast majority of people have no problem with these student athletes making some money because it's, again, a multi-billion dollar industry.
So this came, it was approved in the Ninth Circuit Court. That's what sent it to the Supreme Court. So I'm just reading through a Michael McCann piece on this. If the Supreme Court upholds it, affirms it, the NCAA must then rewrite rules to allow schools to offer reimbursements for expenses pertaining to computers, science equipment, musical instruments, and other tangible academic-related items not included to the cost of student attendance calculation. In addition, they can no longer limit internships for college athletes after their eligibility expires. So those are the main tenets of this court case and what we're arguing for the college athletes today. All right, what's on tap? And a couple of poll questions. We'll wrap it up next on The Fam.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd.
99% of the teams in the NFL, they need a
brewing company. Born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
That's right. What's on tap? Brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach online at pelicanbrewing.com. I tell you, man, sit outside, drink a beer. It's going to feel like you're on the beach today. 70 degrees.
Hopefully.
Let it roast. I got to start. I got to combat the golf tan whenever I get the chance to. It's already kicking in, man. My feet are pale white. The upper arms are pale white. I got to combat it. It's a constant struggle.
I think I'm going to go total douchebag. I'm going to start tanning at the gym.
Are you going to be that guy?
Yeah.
Why don't you just lay out on your patio? Lay out outside.
I don't think you understand. When you're pale white, natural route is a lot harder than the...
You need a base, brother.
Yeah, you need a
base. Yeah, you got to have a base. I can go out there and we'll... I'm good to go.
Yeah, you got the naturally nice tan.
Yeah, I don't got to worry about anything.
Yeah. Luckily, my kids didn't get my pale gene. They get dark quick.
They do. Yeah, it sinks in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's find out what's on tap, shall we? We got a couple of poll questions we need to answer. A couple things to keep an eye on in the NBA, other than the Blazers tonight. Well, I mean, just really only one thing. Well, I'll give you two. Dallas is in Boston. That's a game on ESPN. Dallas is playing better basketball. We know that. They're behind you in the standings, so it's always one to keep an eye on. Boston, that's a weird story this year. They're below 500 now at this point, 23-24. And we highlighted yesterday Fournier's debut for them, not making a field goal. So keep an eye on that for standing purposes. Also, the second half of the ESPN doubleheader is Milwaukee at LA. And just a reminder, if you're looking at the standings, let me show you where LA and Dallas are from you. So currently in the Western Conference, you are a game and a half behind the Lakers. So the LA shorthanded lineup are taking on Milwaukee. They lose that game tonight and you find a way to beat Detroit, you're only a half game behind the Lakers, and they would move behind, or I guess they'd still be slightly ahead of Denver by a half game. And then Dallas is 3.5 games behind you, and they're that threshold that you want to stay above because they're the 7th seed, and you do not want to play in that play-in matchup again this year.
No, you don't want to do that, and I think you also just want to avoid some of the higher-level skilled teams, unless you think Utah, Phoenix are just a bunch of frauds.
Yeah, but I saw the fine folks at Pinwheel Empire put a poll question out on that yesterday. Would you rather get home court advantage, per se, against the Lakers in the first round, or would you rather finish in like the 6th seed and play a Phoenix or a Utah? Utah's not going to fall below.
Don't you always take the non-Laker answer there?
I think you would, right?
I don't care that they're hurt. I'm not taking my chances with LeBron coming back healthy.
I'll roll the dice on Phoenix.
And Anthony Davis coming back healthy. Oh, by the way, they added Andre Drummond, who's going to be a statistical monster. And yeah, I think I go the non-Laker answer there, Bob. We saw what happened last year against the Lakers. Over in 5.
So those are two games to keep an eye on. They're both on ESPN. It's never too early to start standing watch. Even if you're outside, just check your phone every now and then, see what the scores are. The Blazers do play tonight. They had a couple of nights off, and they are back in action in Detroit. If you don't know anything about Detroit, I will tell you they have the second worst record in the NBA, or at least tied for it. Minnesota is the only team with a worse record than them.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is also 13-33, but the mighty Detroit Pistons come into this game 13-33.
That's, you know, they're doing like this weird in-between rebuild. They've got former Blazer Mason Plumlee on the squad.
Oh, he's in Detroit now. I haven't heard Mason Plumlee's name in a while.
Yeah, he is. They signed him in the offseason. Jeremy Grant has had a pretty good year.
He's having a good year, yeah.
That was somebody that I really liked, and I know Portland couldn't afford him.
Yeah,
but overall, I mean,
you got to win. I mean, they're going to win this game. You're taking on Detroit. They're favored by 7.5 as the line. So if you're in the gambling persuasion, 7.5 is your point spread. Keep an eye on that first quarter line, though. The Blazers' first quarter defense has been awful. I'd have to go look up what it is, but it feels like every year when they give up one of those mega quarters with a ton of points, it's always in the first. And then they eventually kind of pull away from a team, especially lesser teams. But
I don't think they're going to Orlando this game.
You don't think so?
I do think they're going to come out, and this thing's going to get over rather quickly. If it's not, well, that speaks to a bigger problem, because I think their next game is Milwaukee, right?
Their next game is Milwaukee, yeah.
Yeah.
So they got one more to wrap up this road trip. It would just get the win. Detroit's terrible. You go 4-0 on the road trip. It'd be nice. We said going in, you got a chance to go undefeated, or at least 3-1. That was before we knew Miami would be playing you shorthanded. You won that game, so you're 3-0 already on the trip. And, yeah, their next game is Friday night at home against Milwaukee. So you got Milwaukee and OKC this weekend.
And they embarrassed you the last time you played them. They just boat raced you by 40.
That they did, Bob.
The game was over quick.
134-106 was the final there. Quick look at the poll questions for today. We got two of them out there. Three of them out there at Dirt and Sprague. Down to the final four. Are you taking Gonzaga or are you taking the field? 87% of people taking Gonzaga.
I don't know how you don't.
Right? 87%. Pretty overwhelming.
Baylor is the one, though, that makes you maybe question the answer to that.
I would question them. Can they cover the spread? Got a chance to keep
it close. Well, can they beat Houston? I mean, we'll see, right?
They got to get there first, right? Are you a fan of the 17-game regular season? This is evenly split. 34% of you say no. 35% say yes. 30% say you don't care. So that's about as evenly split as you'll find. And then have you watched more, less, or the same NCAA tournament so far? 39% of people say more, 29% say the same, 31% say a little bit less.
Yeah.
We're curious about that on ratings.
Well, we'll see about the final four, too. If Gonzaga goes to their averages and UCLA goes to their averages, that's a 30-point loss.
No doubt about it. Tomorrow on the show, Charlie Ward's going to join us.
Heisman winner and NBA point guard.
That Charlie Ward at 7 a.m. tomorrow. I want to shout out Brady Breeze is going to be on with AJ and Dusty at 1 o'clock today. He's getting ready for the combine, getting ready to go pro, local product. Always root for those. And then later tonight, you gotta listen to the Hot Corner, 7 to 9. Opening day's tomorrow, baby.
Yeah, baby, let's do it.
By the way, opening day is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Cassie Smith Day is upon us.
It is tomorrow, folks. So that'll do it for us. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. Colin's coming up next. AJ and Dusty, noon to 3. Primetime 3 to 7. Hot Corner, 7 to 9. Loaded Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow on opening day at 6 a.m. on 1080 The Fan.
That is 7 and 9.
Okay, so you met the love of your life. She's dropped.